Hello, and welcome to This Might Be The News. My name is Rory, and this week I'm joined by my friend Paul.
Hello.
And our Marbella correspondent, Sophie Werger.
Hola.
How are you doing, Sophie?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
So we've got you on the old internet phone set up for a kind of... it's an ear pervert special, but we've invited Paul in to take part.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
It's always nice to have an extra person.
Long time listener, first time caller.
So it's like we're having a weird conference call with Soph.
Yes.
Yeah, why? Well, I'm on the front line of people sunburning and refusing to learn Spanish names of people.
So what are you doing? You're just nodding at people?
Yeah, no, like just someone got introduced to someone the other day and this English guy was like, oh, I'm never going to remember that. I'll have to call you Jack. And I was like, so embarrassed.
Wow.
It's a really simple name. It's just Spanish, so it's harder to say. But maybe make an effort, hey?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not going to be doing a Marbella story, are we?
Unfortunately not. I mean, but I don't know what there would be to cover, really.
Yeah, is there any inside scoops you can sort of give us a heads up on?
No, the biggest chat around here is the weather.
Right, because the rain in Spain falls mainly...
And the plane?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's the one. I think they mainly talk about the weather, though, because it's mainly English people here, and that's all English people like to stereotypically talk about, isn't it?
Are they all worried about getting kicked out in March next year? Or coming
home?
No,
no one's eyes are filled with worry, dread, or, you know, anticipation for that. I think they all think they're safe. I think everyone's like I think they're like money hoarders, and I think they're all like naughty people out here.
Oh, naughty people. Wow, heard air first. That is a breaking story.
This has turned into like Panorama. There's some naughty people in Marbella.
Sounds like Belize.
And I'm the correspondent. That would be so awful.
You're behind enemy lines.
I love it when we break news on this podcast.
Yes.
Speaking of the news, we better dive right into it. And there's only one way to start. And that is with the facts.
Facts.
The facts. So, it has been not a great year so far for Mark Zuckerberg. Do you know who Mark Zuckerberg is, Soph?
Of course I do. He's quite fit, really, isn't he?
Yeah, he's all right. He's got that kind of money fit aspect of it.
If you like that whole billionaire vibe.
Yeah.
No, but not even that. It's just like he's casual, isn't he? He's casual chic.
I suppose. Yeah, t-shirt and jeans.
He likes a t-shirt and a jean.
I really rate that, though, when someone just like dresses down and just doesn't care. I rate that, not caring.
Okay, so
are you dating Mark Zuckerberg? Have you not told us? I'm being very, very surprised that you're coming out being so defensive of him.
Well, it's good to know that someone will have his corner as we go into what's been going on in the world of Facebook this year. So this week, Mark Zuckerberg's going to be hauled before Congress to sort of explain what the hell's been going on. And sort of in other bad things, this delete Facebook hashtag has emerged, and it's even been endorsed by the founder of WhatsApp, which, do you remember, got bought by Facebook. So,
an interesting move. They say don't bite the hand that feeds you, but sometimes it's a really tasty hand. Sometimes you just want hand, guys.
a hand
all up in your face.
Yeah, a hand sandwich, Rory. God, you've got to... Unbelievable.
Awful.
So, Soph, I do have to warn you that listeners need to know that Sophie's wearing a poncho over her computer to help with the acoustics of her Marbella villa. We are hearing a little bit of rustling, so...
Are you hearing more rustle?
You didn't give me the code. Sorry.
We just thought the listeners might be a little bit confused if we just started saying
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
But the thing is, I think when I laugh, it rustles, so don't make me laugh.
You should see someone about that.
Yeah, I believe there's a cream for that.
Oh, you're on fire.
Oh, we are. Mark Zuckerberg is facing Congress because he's unwittingly facilitated the election of Donald Trump by allowing the Russian state and anyone else who sort of wants to manipulate the election do that.
I just stop you there, because this is what I didn't understand when I did my homework. Tell me how Mark Zuckerberg has done this.
Well, so there's Cambridge Analytica and various subsidiaries of it were using... Well, it started off... One of the main ways that they harvested data through Facebook was that they were running...
Should we just say what Cambridge Analytica is to people? Because I had no freaking clue.
Okay, let's start at the beginning then.
Sorry.
So, oh, no, I mean, like, let's take
there might be that. Loads of people that don't know. I don't know.
I think it's a good point. And if anyone, we're the people qualified to face this. Also, do you remember around the election, there was all that, like, oh, there was like pumping, there was loads of fake news, and everyone started saying fake news a lot.
Yeah, they're still saying it now. Usually it's jokes, which aren't funny. Yeah, well,
so now they're saying that actually, yeah, the fake news was orchestrated at a very highly organised level, and there's actually big companies that do this, that offer this service to use Facebook to shape the debate on Facebook. And Cambridge Analytica is one of these companies. Offers like sort of, I mean, at sort of an official level, it's a policy and political specialist lobby. Strategy sort of company.
They're consultants, aren't they?
Yeah, just generic consultants. They'll help you get elected, and they claim to have sort of helped win over 200 elections around the world in recent years. So it's starting to sound a bit worrying.
They do data analysis essentially, and look at ways that you can target people. And then in regards to what's happened recently, they were using personality tests. So people signed up to do these paid personality tests on Facebook.
Yeah.
But there was also check boxes in it which said, we're also allowed to access your friends' data and all that stuff. So it meant that they suddenly had millions and millions worth of data, and they could then use targeted ads and fake news articles or whatever it is to try and influence those elections and influence those people. So their news feeds were like filled with all the stuff they worried about.
Yeah, exactly. And it was sort of between 50 and 70 million people were affected.
Do we know if we're affected?
You were probably affected.
I mean, I'm very influential on
Facebook. Checked. You need to get checked.
I need to get checked out at the DTI clinic, the digitally transmitted infection.
Very nice. Yeah, I like that.
Better pattern, that guy. and the other thing people concerned about, it wasn't just people that filled in these surveys, it was their friends. They had access to these friends. So that was like bad thing number one, and that's what Cambridge Analytica started getting the news for. And then Channel 4 did one of these undercover go meet with the CEO and other members of the Cambridge Analytica gang. And sort of what they then revealed was that they actually pursue some really old school techniques as well. They suggested putting politicians in compromising positions by arranging for Ukrainian prostitutes to come to their hotels. They were also
that old trick.
Hang on a minute. Who was doing this? Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
They were what? They were framing some... Oh, because they're a PR agency.
So they're a consultancy, and so they sort of went... Then this reporter for Channel 4, he sort of went undercover pretending he was someone who wanted to buy their services, and he was like, so what do you offer? What do you offer to me if I want to win an election? And they're like, well, we've got all this data and stuff, and we can influence an election on Facebook. And at that very point, they said, that's what we did for Trump. That's what we did for Brexit. But also, we've got like this sort of off-the-menu set of options that we can do. We can sort of arrange for some Ukrainian girls to come on holiday.
How accommodating of them.
Political rivals. They offer bribes potentially to public officials. There was a suggestion of being able to use former spies to dig dirt on political opponents. So overall,
do you think they do things like egging houses and
throwing toilet paper over people's gardens,
or like what, like wetting down a toilet paper and then throwing it up on the ceiling?
Yeah,
film over the seat of Jeremy Corbyn's toilet.
Yeah, go over there and kick Robert Mugabe's wing mirror.
Yeah, Kia's car.
Yeah. Put a pine cone into the exhaust pipe. Go on, hit it where it hurts. Yeah, Robert.
Who does that?
Not me.
Yeah, so
certainly not me.
Certainly not me, Mum and Dad.
So this all came out on Channel 4, and so the fact that Facebook's been sort of giving user data or allowing the data mining by companies that with such shady morals and sort of unquestionably lacking of morals has put overall.
It's the only form of mining still existing today, almost.
Wow, good job Thatcher's dead, otherwise she'll try and shut that down.
Yeah.
And we can't have any mining.
Yeah. No.
Thanks, Margaret.
And then so this week, Facebook has had to suspend Aggregate IQ, which is a Canadian data firm that was involved in the Brexit campaign.
Yeah. What's great about that is they had a quote on their website from the head of the Leave campaign saying, oh, we couldn't have done this without you, which this week was deleted off their front page. It's great.
Distance ourselves.
Yes.
So this has sort of been, this has bubbled up. I mean, what do you think, Paul? What's going to happen next?
I don't know, really. I mean, the Facebook stuff is kind of quite funny to me because lots of, I think, mainly majoritively older people were up in arms that, like, Facebook was doing this and, like, oh, they've got all this data off us. This is incredible. So every young person knows for years and years that, like, Facebook take pretty much everything that you've got. You, like, sign away your soul as soon as you go on it. It's like, as soon as you get any of the advertising on Facebook.
Still off Facebook, mate.
Still off Facebook, mate, yeah.
So, Paul, are you like one of these progressives who doesn't even have Facebook?
Yeah, I don't have any social media, not progressively. I just found that the first thing I was doing in the morning when I opened my eyes was checking Facebook and Instagram, and I thought that was probably
so you don't even have Instagram?
Bad. No, I don't have Instagram.
How do you know what your friends are doing?
I don't. I miss every single person's birthday. I miss a lot of parties that I otherwise would have got to go to.
Yeah.
And in return, I just spend all my time on The Guardian and BBC Sport because I'm still very much addicted to my phone.
Right, okay. So
I think that's a good thing. I think maybe I should do that. I mean, I have deleted the old social media apps since being out in sunny Spain.
Do you find that just means you just now spend as much time on them, but you just log in? Because I used to do that.
Yeah, no, I do that sometimes.
I got
sometimes.
Rid of the apps and now I then would just have to go on the browser and type in www.twitter.
I've always done that with Facebook. I never download the app of Facebook anyway, so I always go on the browser. But actually, what I found is since I deleted them was like, I'm not going to go on them for a week or so. I just gave myself a week off, and it was great. I spent a lot more time staring.
Oh, yeah, just, I miss a good stare.
Yeah, just being, you know?
Just being. Incredible.
Just being present, guys. I've really changed since being out here, you see?
One thing I really did like about this story was the whistleblower for Cambridge Analytica. Have you seen the photo of the guy who looks like he's about to release a trap album?
No.
It's incredible. he could be in Brockhampton. He's got bright pink hair.
Right.
It's amazing.
Do you know what I do think about this? I do think, like, if Mark Zuckerberg doesn't know how to protect us, how the hell are we meant to protect ourselves? Like, we've got no fucking clue.
Well, I think the question is, Mark Zuckerberg clearly does know how to protect us, but he also knows how to exploit us feeling protected.
He needs that money.
For that kind of potential monetary gain.
Well,
people are leaving Facebook in the droves anyway.
I heard that there's going to be more dead people on Facebook by 2020 than there are alive.
Really?
Think about that.
That's weird, isn't it?
It's a good premise for a
Black
Mirror
episode. I'm sure that was like some man at the pub.
Yeah, that definitely was, wasn't it? He has like a massive dog.
You hit it first. Another piece of breaking news.
Yeah.
It's interesting though because I've written down some notes and then I'm almost don't mind. What Facebook have said now is that they're not you're not going to be allowed to access. They can't sell data, I think. So, you know, obviously they sell all their data. But before that, they had access to, like, check-ins and likes and photos and posts. Whereas now they're not going to allow that. And they won't be able to allow, like, any access to your religious views, God forbid.
What's your religious view on Facebook, so if I imagine you've...
I think it's something stupid, like... I don't even know. Like I'm from somewhere in like New Zealand, according to Facebook. I'm married to my friend Abby.
My religious view on Facebook was top floor of the Taj Mahal, and my political view was top of Big Ben. Two good dad jokes for you there.
I like that. Two for the price of one.
Yes.
You didn't think to vary.
Two jokes that no one asked for.
I'm going to say Russell again. I'm going to say Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Oh, it's because I started moving because I was about to go onto Facebook and see what I had to... I've got a friend that's got really funny...
We're recording a podcast. Get off Facebook.
I was going to tell you what my friend's religious view was because it's funny.
She's replying to her pokes.
Yeah. She's...
Are they going to be able to track pokes, do you think?
Oh, well, I think that's all out there, you know. I think
if they sell my poking data to anyone, I will be so embarrassed if that got out.
To be honest, I only left Facebook because Nigel Farage kept on poking me all the time. join us.
He's the worst person to be poked by.
Yeah.
So, but do we think this And but Paul, you can speak as a sort of a representative of the left. Do we think...
God, why has Paul suddenly become this fucking flag wearer for the left?
Because I've got that Jeremy Corbyn tattoo.
Maybe we're all lefties. Maybe we're not. Yes. Maybe we don't have to decide.
That's true. We can pick and choose.
I'm politically fluid.
Okay. Yeah.
So I use all the main party toilets.
Wow, we're on a roll with these terrible gags today.
They're awful.
We don't be able to do a highlights page.
I'm ludicrously hungover.
So, I think I'm reeling out of you.
Like you said, Paul, like we've known for years that Facebook is able to use our data to target us, to sell us holidays and clothes and whatever the hell we've been looking at online. Are people just sort of up in arms now that we think it's because it's given us the election result that we didn't want?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the scale of it. I think there's a big difference between getting ads for the Belgravia Hair Centre, which I've been getting since before I even had hair the first time round.
Paul is wearing a baseball cap today, so...
We just got back from Belgravia. favourite part. No, but all that stuff and being sold juices and holidays to then feeling like you're kind of being sold, missold lies... and it's had an effect on politics. Like, it's kind of, you understand, it's like it's a business and they're going to pitch ads to you.
Mm.
But I think when stuff is coming into your newsfeed, which is just like false, and particularly when it's targeting certain people,
then it
does feel like, that's a bit beyond.
Yeah, because I actually really like the adverts for clothes on Instagram because they're very geared to what I like. Like, essentially, they are my wardrobe, but I haven't bought them yet. So I'm actually finding positive effects of advertising.
So you're pro-surveillance.
Well, I'm not pro-surveillance at all. Come on, it's me. I like live in a camper van, don't I? I do find it odd, and I think that we've got to be aware because what's interesting is when I was reading about the fact that it's an advertising supported model. That's what they called it. Like, so unlike the BBC, for example, that doesn't have to use advertising, you know, they can pick whatever goes on there. Like, there is, you know, is it what's autonomous mean? Something
sort of in charge of your own shit.
Yeah, autonomous. So the BBC is autonomous. However, all of these other platforms have to be supported by advertising. So that's the only way they work. And that's why you get this freedom with them. So there's good and bad bits to that. And I think what Paul said, If they're feeding you like lies, like fake news, that's awful. But
I think it's also who you're pitching to, and you go the people who are most susceptible to it, and the way they're targeted. Because this isn't like Cambridge Analytica advertising particular stuff. They're just putting stuff into people's feeds and stuff which is going up, which means that they're going to believe it. And it's always a thing because you target the most gullible people,
or the people who are most
easily swayed. Yeah, so you go for the people on the extremes, and you go right. Let's just keep,
I think they've got me done because I think I'd be one of them, but I don't know if they've cottoned on yet.
I don't know, but you maybe shouldn't say that on the podcast because I imagine Mark will be listening.
You've put a target on your back now.
Whoops.
Well, that's all we've got time for on the fact. So to be continued. Zuckerberg's going to Congress this week. I think he's being called, like, Westminster wants him to, so he's a popular man.
Oh, I look forward to seeing what T-shirt and jeans he wears.
God, you're so shallow, Paul.
Yeah, I am.
Task Force. So, I've had a call.
Oh.
I think he's called before, but I can't be too sure.
Okay.
And I'd prefer him not to have my number.
Yeah.
But it's Nigel.
Can you do that thing where you... like, you no call ID.
Oh, what? Where I know it's Nigel and I screen his calls.
Yeah.
I should do that. You're right.
Did I tell you about the book I got for my birthday?
No.
No.
It's not Where's Wally. It's Where's Nigel Farage.
Oh, yeah.
And it's excellent. I showed it to a whole tube of passengers on my birthday. And it's, you have to find Nigel and his beer. It's excellent. It's an excellent book.
Let's put a lovely spin on him.
Is he always on a boat on the river? Pouring fucking buckets of dead fish back into the sea. As if that's a way that the British fishermen will be able to then pick them back out and feel like they've got a small victory. But there you go. There's some more fish.
In every page, you've got to find the fish. Like Woof's tail.
That's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
So he's called, and basically, if you thought Facebook's having a bad time, UKIP's not doing much better. Surprise, surprise. So UKIP's been described as virtually dead, with putting forward 75% fewer candidates for the local council elections. And even Farage has admitted that UKIP is collapsing. It's also been left with a ruinous six-figure bill over a lost legal battle with three Labour MPs, which I don't know anything about.
Yeah, I know nothing about that.
That sounds right up UKIP street.
Yes.
But two things yep. here.
Go
didn't
for
Nigel
it.
Farage leave the party?
He stepped down as leader.
But didn't he leave and go to another party?
I don't think he left and went to another party.
I made that up in my head. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. It must have been another actual party, like a 50th.
he is life and soul, to be fair.
He is life and soul.
Yeah, life and...
Okay, fake news number two.
You didn't let me get my dead fish thing out with life and soul.
Good one. That's good. I've forgotten the second one. I'm also hungover, sorry.
I was going to say, put us in our place there.
Ah. Oh.
God
damn it.
that wasn't a Marbella delay, was it? That was just genuine.
That was a genuine delay.
That joke was so bad. So Nigel Farage got replaced by a guy called Henry Bolton, who quickly became controversial from the fact that he was going out with a much younger
racist
woman.
Bitch. Sue me, darling. Sue me.
You
know where to find me.
Joe Marnie, a much younger model who sent offensive messages
fucking
to
model
him,
as well.
About Meghan Markle. Who
yes.
You can't say a bad word about Meghan Markle.
Well, I think you can say a bad word about her, but you can't say those bad words about her.
Yeah.
Also,
she's the
I
people's
wouldn't
princess,
say
isn't she?
She's the second people's princess.
Yeah.
She's the return.
She's the return of the princess.
People's princess 2, this time.
Yeah.
It's serious.
The return.
Yeah.
and so that's not helped. So he took ages to leave.
Mm.
And leave. That really sounded like the house. Leave the house. Took ages to leave the house.
Unbelievable.
Couldn't find his keys.
He was going to the 50th as well.
He's singing that song. You know that song in Britain's Got Talent years ago? Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Do you remember that?
You were speaking to a very niche group of listeners right now. Yes. Who were nodding their heads going, yeah, I remember that.
And hello to our listeners in Uzbekistan.
And Zambia.
We should do a shout out. Today's weirdest sort of locations for listeners to this might be the news was Zambia and Uzbekistan.
Mm.
And I don't think we've ever... done a shout out or talked about current affairs in those two countries. So this is people who really have gone deep into the world of
and
podcasts.
If they have made it this far through, hello.
Yeah.
We can only apologise.
You don't have to speak to them like they don't speak English though, Paul.
I thought I spoke
hello.
Pretty good English there.
Hello.
Oh, yes.
Stop condescending our two listeners.
Yeah. If they got this far, then they're going to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hello.
For God's sake. So Farage has called and he said, Rory, you like the one thing you're good at, Rory, from what I hear, is a reboot, a rebrand, a revamp.
A reboot.
Did you hear last week I rebooted Jesus?
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, I haven't listened to that.
Oh,
one,
you must
sorry.
Check it out.
Yeah. Takes 3 days for that reboot, doesn't it?
You have to turn it off.
Is it like is it digital Jesus? Like a
Yeah,
like
we plugged him into the Ethernet and off we went.
Your own. Digital
Jesus.
Oh no, the two of you are ganging up on me on like hungover levels of humour.
Get me a delivery room, put me to bed.
So I've come to the two of you, and basically I want you to help me.
Yeah.
What do we make UKIP about in 2018? Because I feel the issue it isn't the leadership; it's the fact that they won Brexit. So what do we do now with UKIP?
Can't do anything at the moment, can you? Because they've got a debt. So I have to pay that off first, get someone to... They'll have to sort their finances
first. That's the
most
pragmatic thing Sophie's ever said on the podcast.
That is, because I was going to say kill it, bury it and dance on its grave. But yours is much better, Soph.
Well, if we were being, like, realistic about it, boys.
I do think assisted suicide would be good. Obviously, we couldn't do it in Dignitas after March next year.
No.
They can't afford to get to Switzerland, so we couldn't do it there.
Yeah, oh, you don't want to do it on foreign soil either.
No, absolutely no, you want a good
not.
British...
Throw ourselves off the Dover,
euthanasia.
The cliffs of Dover.
Yeah.
Like lemmings.
And land on a novelty replica.
It could be great for the brand, actually, because it would be like dying. Like many people, once they've died, suddenly become more famous. So maybe all of UKIP jump off the cliffs of Dover, suddenly rebrands happen because everyone's like, I can't believe they did that for politics. I really believe in them. And then it becomes like a religious sort of political experience for the people that start up UKIP after.
We'll know them as martyrs.
Oh, God. I mean, on a side note, did you read this week there's apparently there's been private plans for a new political party, which is being
private
funded
plans.
By the guy who owns Love Film. Ooh. He's put £50 million worth of backing or something.
Into what?
And consort him into a new kind of centrist party, which has been had full-time staff for a year but hasn't been launched yet. So I think in the face of... They're trying to fill that gap in the middle, essentially.
Have they got any big-name politicians?
That gap in the middle? No. Isn't everyone middle?
Well, I think increasingly people have thought over the last few years that the Labour Party has now started to move left with Corbyn and the Tories have started to move right and essentially enveloped UKIP.
I think, people have got what they wanted in that we do now have a clear choice in our parties with Corbyn sort of doing his left thing and I guess doing his thing. And I think a lot of former Liberal Democrat supporters went that way.
Well, the Lib Dems were like, oh, we can fill this hole in the market. And then Tim Farron just hasn't, really.
Well, it's thingy now, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh. I haven't heard from him since.
Yeah.
So that's another piece of breaking news. Secret political party.
Yeah.
Getting launched this year.
I don't think that's going to really appease any former UKIP supporters.
I mean, this is going to help Farage.
No.
So one thing I was thinking is, what did they want from Brexit that they're not getting? Because surely that will bring them all together.
Blue passports, sovereignty,
I thought
the fishing. I imagine if UKIP just focused on fishing now, that's all they've got, really.
Do we know even what happened with the fishing? Why was Farage putting a load of mackerel in the Thames?
Because he's a fucking idiot. Also because...
Speak your mind, Paul.
Yeah, well, I don't want to sit on the... I always sit on the fence about Nigel Farage, so it's about time that I finally said what I feel about
him. Say what you really think.
Well, it was like he was on the European Fisheries Commission for 2 years. And
why?
Went to,
what a silly thing.
I think he went
Does
to...
he need to be on that one?
Well, he was supposed to be, but he only went to one of 42 meetings and did absolutely nothing to fight Britain's
Wasn't enough fresh fish at the buffet.
Yeah, probably, yes, I think that was that. But essentially, there's 16,000 fishermen in the UK... And there's this European Fisheries Commission.
They all go? Do you have to go?
What
I would
mean?
Like to know what this place is like. This Fisheries Commission.
It's not like an AGM. No, all the fishermen in Europe don't go to this big meeting.
Oh, that'd be fun, though, in their yellow coats.
But that's why you have MEPs, because they go on your behalf. And
MEPs.
They debate these kind of things.
MEPs, what was the sample?
Members of the European Parliament.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's...
I like the fact that they, in your head they are only eating like a seafood platter.
Yeah. It's not like a big dinner.
Live the trade, breathe the trade, dream
it's not
the
as
trade.
If they're all doing like Secret Santa. And it's like, another fishing rod, thanks. I'll take that back to my people. Essentially,
the approach that I took to university of go to one out of 42.
Yes, that's what it is. But also now, so he's this big kind of figurehead for fishermen. He's like, he wants the UK fishermen to be able to regulate how much fishing they do in British waters, which at the moment comes under the European jurisdiction.
Right.
But this was always something which they said, it was like when they had that shit flotilla, you know, the Leave flotilla at the Thames, and it was Bob Geldof.
I think that was a low point for the Remain campaign as well.
That was a low point for humanity when they did that.
Yeah.
Everyone just Geldof versus Farage.
Why is Nigel Farage sailing a boat like Alan Partridge up the middle of the Thames whilst Bob Geldof stands with a loudspeaker calling him an idiot?
Yeah, two millionaires having a pissing contest with megaphones.
They should have just got the duck tour.
Saved
would have been
everyone.
Cheaper and easier and not as inconvenient for everyone.
And you have to behave yourself. You have to stay seated for the duck tour.
Yeah, I cut my tongue on a lolly once on that.
Did you?
Yeah, like I had one of those big lollies and I just licked it so much it cut it.
I can't wait for the political memoirs of Sophie Worker.
I don't know much about UKIP. I think he could rebrand as like a, you know, like a sleeping company, like selling mattresses. UKIP.
Right. Couldn't I get it.
Sometimes a joke is so obvious that it takes a while to go back and
see. I like to bring it back to basics, strip it down. Do you know what I mean?
Like it.
Like a good
like
bed.
Yes, mate. Miss you, mate.
I miss you.
Little high five across across the shore there between the two of you. I like it. So a little U hyphen Kip.
No, I mean, you could keep it as it is if you want. Well, just a little Z above the I, you know, like a sleepy.
The thing with UKIP is that at the moment, because it seems like it's dying, yeah. I think the thing when you talk about it is that I don't think it will fully die because I don't think they're going to get... Oh, Jesus. One last proper point before this descends into madness.
Yeah.
But it won't fully go because even if we do get an exit from the EU, I don't think it's going to satisfy what anyone from UKIP wanted or why people would... want to vote for UKIP in the first place. And also, I don't think it's because leaving the EU is actually going to solve any of the problems that they were told leaving the EU would actually solve. So then they'll still want to blame the mainstream establishment because Nigel Farage will say, oh, but they didn't do these things, and that's the real reason why it hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So there'll always be that kind of desire for a more extreme right-wing party than the Conservatives and someone to blame who isn't in power. So I think UKIP probably won't ever really truly go away, and if it does, it'll just change its name and kind of reform. Before this, it was the BNP.
Yeah.
And then it became UKIP.
Yeah, and do we think Farage will end up coming back to the front?
I hope not. I do hope one of these days he someone throws him into the Dems.
Well, one day he will die, Paul, because that's what happens to us all.
I know, but the damage he could do, he's still probably got about 30 years left.
He'll definitely come back. He's like the Phantom Menace, or like Darth Vader. He'll definitely come back.
The Phantom Menace, that's great.
I like that, yeah.
Well, I was thinking, like, basically they could sort of turn themselves, and you've got boots on the ground, so if you can sort of do the hard work.
I do have boots on the ground.
I'm thinking UKIP holidays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or why doesn't Farage just find another country that he can remove from the European Union?
Yeah.
Well, maybe perhaps he'll just go round, agent for hire.
This could be their new thing.
They could be, Ukraine could be keen, given...
Well, Ukraine tried.
Yeah.
From Russia. And then essentially Washington were like, this probably isn't worth our time.
Yeah, so that didn't work out well for Ukraine. But I guess, I mean, he can probably just sort of rig it in Spain, can't he? There's enough Brits in Spain
yeah.
to be able to pull Spain
Gibraltar. Get Gibraltar. Yeah.
Well, I think Gibraltar's coming out of the EU.
He'll probably want Benidorm to become independent from Spain.
I think everyone's on board with that.
Well, the Costa del Sol, yeah. I mean, they've already got problems up the way with Barcelona, haven't they, in Spain? So
yeah.
I think really they probably could take Marbella or Malaga.
The taking of Marbella.
Yeah. God, imagine that.
Lieutenant Sophie Werger on the front
people
line.
People brandish sun cream, Sultan sun creams. And
we'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight parasols. Them in the 80s themed nightclubs.
We'll fight them with the karaoke
mics. We'll fight them on the beach volleyball court.
Yeah, fight them with the fish bowls.
Oh, I haven't found a fish bowl yet.
Oh, you must. I must.
Oh, darling, you must.
I simply wouldn't miss it for the world.
So before I give them a call back, do we have any other feedback on this UKIP reboot?
No, I think you've done enough, Nigel. And thanks for everything.
Yeah,
thanks,
I'm not going to give him any
for the memories.
Tips.
Yeah. I think with the holiday idea, I think, A, there's a lot of commission that we can add post-Brexit.
Mm.
And by we, I mean UKIP. I've sort of got a bit of Stockholm syndrome from hanging out with Nigel too much at the pub. He loves a fine ale.
Yeah.
That's a real ale.
Dunbar.
Good British ale.
Yes.
But yeah, just take us to places that we wanted to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to give any tips. I'm keeping my cards close to my chest. Sorry, Nige. You aren't getting any of my ideas.
Oh, God, the focus group was tough today. You guys aren't on board. You don't want to throw him any bones.
No, that's why I gave him my shit sleep idea.
Both me and Sophie were surprisingly resistant to the idea of trying to help save UKIP.
Save the dying corpse of UKIP. Well, it's just going to be me and Nige against the world again.
Yes. Thelma and Louise.
Sailing into the sunset.
Cliff. Yeah.
Singing "We'll Meet Again," or was it some other World War II favourite? Well, thank
it's
you
a World War II favourite.
Yeah, a bit of Vera Lynn. Come on, Soph.
It's a sound system banger. A World War II favourite
with a remix.
Now that's what I call war anthems
with Skrillex.
To be fair, Bangarang. So anyway, thank you both for helping, well, reluctantly not helping me with this week's task force. I'll get back to Nige.
Quiz.
You ready?
Yep.
You having a little another rustle there, so
Russell Crowe.
Was I? Russell Crowin? Yeah, I wasn't even moving. Do you know how sad I look at the moment? I've literally just got my head in my hands and I'm in front of my screen. It's quite a weird...
Weird how all three of us are doing the same pose.
Do you think this is maybe us thinking it's going well?
I'd say so. Question number one. You ready?
Yes.
Did you know Soph won the last quiz, Paul?
I did, I heard.
So,
watch out. Also, since being here, I've decided to call myself Sophia, so because it's easier for them.
Oh, right, nice.
I've actually done what I said I don't like them doing. But
okay.
Sophia, see?
Yeah.
Question number one. Which UK university has topped a list for having the most balanced intake of rich and poor students?
Sophia.
Yep.
Is it Durham?
No.
Paul.
Oh, fuck, I know about him.
Bristol?
No, it is up
Manchester?
North.
Manchester?
Newcastle?
No.
Edinburgh?
No.
Glasgow?
No.
Birmingham?
It begins with an H.
Ham University?
Hampton Court.
Don't get to your Hampton Court.
There's an H.
Huddersfield.
H-U.
Huddersfield again. I'm saying again. I'm
sticking
with it.
Hunky.
Hunky University for all the hunks. Dry study.
Yeah, they tell me
where all the people from Man O'Man lived.
I'm not going to give either of you. It's Hull.
Hull! Oh. I knew there was an H up north.
It's only got five students. That's why it's got such a good balance.
Isn't that where... was it? No.
That'd be terrible. It's an odd number.
City of Culture was, so.
Yeah, City of Culture. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's all part of the puzzle. Question number two. What has the NFL done this week to make itself more woke? I can't get away with saying woke, can I?
What is that? I've never heard that.
Oh, it's just like being more modern and progressive and like doing
what's
right.
It's like people saying Yas Queen. What's up with that?
Yas Queen.
My sister's trying out at the moment and it does not work.
Yeah, none of us can get away with it. What good thing has the NFL done this week?
Well, I imagine it's not letting people kneel during the national anthem.
No, that's still an issue. Stay away from that. Don't rain on the parade.
Is it?
Well, hang on. What's the question again?
Something about the NFL, so.
The NFL, I'll tell you, they've let someone do something. It's to do with the cheerleaders. They've let...
Oh, are they letting them wear trousers?
No.
Are they
letting them date the footballers? Because apparently you weren't allowed to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, now I've heard it all.
Bleak if that was breaking news.
So, they haven't let any fat people do it yet, but they are letting men be cheerleaders.
Oh.
It's about time men got more
rights.
That's
bloody about time.
Do they have to wear the skimpy pants as well?
I think they're allowed pom-poms.
Oh.
Did I ever tell you?
One on the front, one on the back.
I went to my friend's hen do at the Isle of Wight Festival. We dressed up as cheerleaders because she used to be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the day, we met another man cheerleader, and she was like being flipped around. He was like, "I'm just a cheerleader. I can't do that American accent." That's actually quite boring when I tell that.
That
story.
That was a boring story.
How long have you been alone in Marbella?
Yeah.
Sí, mucho tiempo.
Okay. I think you put that in chapter 8 of the autobiography.
Political memoir. Question number three. Which bird's beaks apparently glow in the dark?
I love how you asked that. Yeah. Which bird's beaks?
God.
Toucans.
Not far away.
Pelican.
No. Begins with a P though.
Penguin.
No. But like, you know, penguin make the adult books.
Pelican.
No. Little, small, cute, black and white with a little funny beak.
Puffin.
Puffin. Never heard anyone
Sophia.
Puffin. Puffin is right. Apparently, it's used to attract the other.
I've seen puffins in their natural habitat before.
Oh, I bet that's nice. I'd like to see a puffin.
Was it in the dark?
No, I didn't see him in the dark.
Are you sure it just wasn't someone moving slowly through a room with a glow stick in their mouth?
No, it was real. It was the same holiday I kicked a baby seal.
Sorry?
So open with that in the memoirs.
Open that story. Don't go with the we once met a cheerleader and he did a flip.
Oh my god. Question number four, another university question. Which UK university buys the most sex toys? This is a metro question now.
Oh, of course it is.
Soph.
Yep.
Manchester.
No.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
Hull?
No, it's one of the big famous ones.
Cambridge?
No.
Oxford?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Oxford.
Did he get that? He guessed quite
How many guesses are you allowed before?
I mean, it's just a free-for-all. I'm just happy to get any answers, you know?
Right. I'll take half a point for that.
So it's a dead heat.
I'll take a point for that.
It's 1-1, mate.
Okay, final question. How much is the going rate to be a Tinder coach?
Fuck off, they exist.
That's a thing. So it's someone who would help you with your Tinder profile. Yep.
40 quid an hour.
Paul, what's your guess? We'll do closest answer.
Okay. £65 plus VAT.
The point goes to Sophie. The answer, £35 an hour.
I'm sorry. Does that make me another winner another week in it?
Yes, mate. Two in a row.
That is fantastic.
Right. Two on the bounce.
She's taking it seriously.
I think Spain's changing me.
I think it is. I'm not sure for the better or for the worse. I sense a change.
Well, that is all we've got time for on this week's edition of This Might Be The News. Thank you very much, Paul. Congratulations, Sophie.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for spending another week in our company.
Yeah, thanks for that.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to This Might Be The News. If you enjoyed this week's episode, then we would love it if you shared it with all your friends. Even better would be reviewing it on iTunes, which will help other people find us. Cheers!